All right, let's go to Mike in the
Just
city.
Just make it happen, Lucas.
Hi, Mike. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Two quick things. First, on current data. On the curve front, I kind of take the Tim Legler point of view, which basically means that if Kerr had simply played Tatum in the first game against Serbia, like not meaningful minutes, talking like 10, 15 minutes, he would have avoided this in terms of a media issue. And let's say Tatum doesn't even play that well. He can at least go to the media and be like, hey guys, JT's not shooting well. We're going to make some changes. Then you're able to at least spin it in a way that makes a bit more sense. The other thing I'd note, and Will, this one's more directed at you.
Okay.
For the NBA Finals, who scored the most points for the Celtics in the Finals?
I have no idea. Probably Jason Tatum.
Who had the most rebounds?
What's that?
Who had the most rebounds?
No idea.
Jason Tatum.
If you're making your point that those stats mean that he should have been MVP, I disagree with you, Mike. Like Steph Curry,
it was a 5-4 decision on MVP for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I mean,
he's only the sixth player in NBA history to lead his team in player points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't
shoot well.
But yeah, exactly, Mike. You watch the games; he didn't play that well. He was not as good as he normally is.
No. I think you're fundamentally wrong there, and that. He was elite defensively, guarded fives, which unlocks everything they do in the finals specifically. Like, the idea that he didn't play well is just false.
Compared
like,
to his normal self, Mike.
Everything else.
Well, but that's a big deal. The first stat you brought up was points. Like, let's be real. What is this about here? I'm not going to sit here and give you DVOA on Jason Tatum. Like, that's fine. He played good defense. If you want to be an elite one dog in the NBA, you got to come. If you're a scorer, you got to come score in the NBA Finals. I'm not taking shots at the guy, but he was not as good as he usually is.
Isn't it about doing everything? Points, rebounds, and assists?
Of course it is.
You can be an elite scorer.
Yeah.
You can be John Morant, but it's sixth in the conference.
I'm not asking him to do that. I'm asking him to be as good as he normally is, which in my opinion, he was not. That's all.
That's fair. I mean, I understand the point. I would just say that, like, given the team and that team's scope, he doesn't need to average 30.
Well,
he can be 27, 10, and 6.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they'll win a ton of games.
That's fine. And they were clearly the best team, Mike. They were clearly the best team. I'm not taking a shot at him. I don't think that in his past, he has been at his best in the biggest moments. That doesn't mean that he can't change it. He's young enough to still do that. It doesn't mean that he stunk out loud. I just think he's a little bit lesser in those moments. And Jaylen Brown is kind of the opposite. And I think that's what the eye test told us in that series last year. That's all I'm trying to say.
Fair. I get it. I mean, my only counter to you, just on that front in terms of who is better in the series, is just that it was 5-4 in terms of the voting. Like, you could easily flip it one way or another, and you're going to have a totally different narrative result. The reality is he played well enough to even be there at that point.
He did. Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. He did, and then I'll also say this. It's kind of fun to blend the two points that Mike is making together. Check this out. He says, wait a minute, isn't it about being like an all-around player? You don't have to this and you don't have to that. Well, I'd argue that in the first point also. Steve Kerr doesn't have to play him. I don't like when we do this. And I've heard this from the Warrior fan base at times with conversations we've had, whether it be Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody or whatever. Why are there these like rules that we make up in our head about what coaches have to do with playing time? He didn't need to play him against Serbia. He didn't need to do anything. He won a gold.
Well, and he actually didn't play in either game against Serbia. As I'm going through the box score, as you fight with callers, the first time they played,
fighting.
I know,
okay.
It's just fun to couch it like
okay.
that. And the first time they played Serbia in pool play, he didn't play either, nor did Halliburton. So it comes down to what Steve Kerr thought matchup-wise would work. And Jason Tatum had 4 points in one game, 5 in the other. He had 10 and 10 in a third game, and then you got into the semifinal games, and that was it. He didn't feel like the matchups worked for Jason Tatum and what they were trying to do. So it doesn't mean that Kerr thinks Tatum is a bad player. And if Jason wants to use that as fuel, then use it as fuel.
Sure.
And if the Boston crowd wants to take up for Jason and boo Steve Kerr, boo Steve Kerr.
Well, that's what they're built for. Yes, they're right. Looking to boo someone, and so they will, and that's fine. And tonight's game is not a narrative about the Olympics at all. Like, what if Jason goes out and scores 30 and the Celtics win by 10? Ooh, showed you, Steve.
What if he goes out and scores 50 and they lose by 3?
There you go.
Then showed you, Steve, but you lost. And, you know, what if Mazzullo decides not to play him because he thinks the matchup is bad?
Well,
like Kerr did in the Olympics.
Yeah, I doubt that with Jalen Brown out. But, you know, I think the Warriors, the way they've played so far this year, are sort of, I don't want to say uniquely, but they're able in a situation like this where they don't need to worry about Jalen Brown. They are defensively able to make tonight a very hard game for Jason Tatum. So if he decides that he wants to play hero ball, I think that works to their advantage. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't think that he will try to do that because Boston is a deep team and they're very balanced. And it's a matchup of two teams that are both pretty deep and pretty balanced, you know, beyond Jason Tatum and Steph Curry. And, you know, Steph is going to be hopefully feeling better even than he was the other night. And he only played 24 minutes, so you'd expect him to play additional minutes tonight. But these two teams kind of mirror each other. And Tim Bontemps had an interesting piece today on ESPN, a former contributor here on 95.7 The Game, comparing this year's Boston team to the 73-win Golden State Warriors. And so as you make your way to ESPN, just, you know, Boston off to a great start this year. And
that feels like a little much.
Could be. But you also remember that Warrior team did not win the title. So go ahead, Boston, win 73 and not win the title.
I just think that 8 games in, it's a little early for that article. I haven't read it, but that's, I'm like.
Yeah, but this team is, Boston is coming off a title.
Sure.
And they are very deep and very talented. So, and I don't think that they have 2 stars and then a Kevin Durant as well, which would, you know, lead to that comparison.
I mean, they're not even the 1 seed in their own conference right now.
Sure.
So why don't we write that article for the Thunder or the Cavs? Those are the undefeated teams right now.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway, yeah, I think that's an interesting sort of conversation that I hear from a lot of people, even though I don't think conceptually they buy it. They do in a small sample and not in a large. Here's what I mean by that. If I ask any of you, do you think that certain players are owed a certain amount of playing time on a given night? Most of you would probably say no. But then if you whittle it down to one player in a certain game, we often get bothered when the person that we want to see get more minutes doesn't get more minutes. I just think it's sort of an odd position to take. Jason Tatum can be offended by this if he wants, but the final analysis is Team USA played really well, and they won the whole thing, and they got a gold medal. And one of the reasons, and I'm not saying these two players are similar, because Jason Tatum is a proven NBA one. But like one of the reasons everybody loves Buddy Hield so much is because of not just the way he plays, but the stuff that he says. Like, if you told Buddy Hield tonight, this guy's your leading scorer so far this year. If you told Buddy tonight, hey, Buddy, like this matchup is a little tough for you in particular. We're not sure if you're getting in tonight. Don't you think Buddy would be like, fine, I trust you, coach?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's because he's a little bit older and he's a veteran. And you could look similarly to Jonathan Kuminga back in 2022 when you got into the NBA Finals and he played a grand total of 8 minutes in 5 games. There were 2 games he didn't play. And in the other 4 games, he played between 48 seconds and 3.5 minutes. Now, did Kuminga at the time think that he was better than that, getting 8 minutes over 6 games? Probably. But you got to that spot where we're going to go with not a 12-man, not 11, not 10, not 9. We're going with 8.
Yep.
We're playing 8, and that's it. And the rest of you, it's going to be the way it's going to go. And so I'm sure Kuminga was not frustrated, but I'm sure he was antsy to be out there and play.
Yeah, you can be frustrated. I just think this whole like retribution thing is a little bit overplayed.
This is a little different though, because I mean, Tatum is, as the caller said, he was one vote away from being the MVP of the finals, and he's a really good player, and he's averaging 30 a night this year. And so he's a top 10 player in the league right now. So if he wants to look at this game and this coach who held him down in the Olympics, but also got you a gold medal, I mean, you're allowed to do that, and you can use whatever motivation you want to use.
888-957-9570. Have you already decided that the Warriors are good, or are you waiting for the rest of this week to unfold? Here's what Anthony Slater said on the roast earlier today with regard to how the Warriors are looking at this week.
Yeah, and I will say this. It isn't just the fans or pundits like us that are interested. There's some internal curiosity, you know, about how what they've been doing, the depth they've been showing, the defensive game planning and that they've, you know, that's been working, you know, their 3-point defense, as we mentioned earlier, their offensive execution, which they feel like is still like kind of the weakness so far through the 6-1 start. There's some curiosity internally about how that will play on this bigger stage, better competition. Like, I think they want these tests. I think they want to know what's real and what isn't, you know, what a rotation against the Celtics like might look like in the second half tonight, where if they're down 12 and they feel like they need to chase down win, you know, does he suddenly, instead of playing 10, 11, stretching it towards 12 men, does it become a 9-man rotation? Who does he close with?
Okay, I love all those questions. And that tonight is very, very interesting for all of those reasons. Because the Warriors, like, and I wonder, sometimes you can try too hard at things. And so I wonder about that dynamic tonight. The Celtics are mad, their fans are going to boo, and Jason Tatum wants to show you something. And it sounds to me like Steve Kerr and the Warriors are like, let's roll the ball out there and learn a little bit more about ourselves and see what happens. Well, that means one team is kind of emotionally charged, and the other one is like, well, like we got nothing to lose, and let's just kind of check it out. Sometimes that sort of blasé attitude works in your favor.
Yeah, because the expectations are much lower for the Warriors. If you're Boston and you're coming off a title and you're taking on the big brother, as I laid out earlier, I do think that Boston sees the Warriors and has a little bit of a chip on their collective shoulder. So, yeah, you want to go out there and show them. And if you're Tatum, you want to show Steve Kerr and you want to show Steph, and the Boston crowd wants to show Draymond and show Steve and show the Warriors that, you know, we're the new dynasty. It's our time now, and we're going to stack titles like you stack titles, and so we're going to show you that we're the new thing now, and you're yesterday's news. So I do think for Boston, that plays into it, and for the Warriors, it's game 8, and there are, after tonight, there's going to be 74 more of these, and it's non-conference, and yeah, Boston's good, and it's a good check-in to see where we are, but Steve and Steph and Draymond and Kevon and Wiggins and all the rest of the veterans especially, they know that it's more about April and May than it is about November and December.
How do you feel about the idea of a moral victory tonight? What if the Warriors lose by 5?
Nah, if they lose, who cares?
They lose, who cares?
There's no moral victory.
No, but I mean, that has to feel different than if they lose by 25.
Not really.
It doesn't?
It feels different, but it doesn't feel better.
Yeah, see, to me it does. Feel better.
Lose by 25 and Steph plays 25 minutes and Draymond plays 25 minutes and those guys shut it down in the third quarter.
That's a lot of 25s.
Well, then I feel good about that.
You do.
If you're going to get blown out, then get blown out. See, and then go ahead and rest your guys for Friday.
When I look at these three games, that's sort of my motto. I don't need a win. I need a game. I want the Warriors.
Again, it's process versus results, me and you, because I'm completely on the other side.
Well, no, you just said no big deal if they lose by a lot.
Yeah, I just want, of the next three, I want one victory.
Yeah, that's fair, too. I'm with you on
results.
That. I'm with you on that, but I don't want to see the Warriors get totally outclassed, because I do think that that is going to make people feel like last year all over again.
I get that, but I'm not really concerned with how people feel. I'm concerned about how they feel and honestly how I feel. And if you win one of these games and you're 7-3 coming home, that's great. Doesn't matter if you lose by 50 and then win by 1 and then lose by 50 again. Although the Oklahoma City game, to me, that is one where
that's hard.
I want you to actually, I'm more interested in you competing with them than I am in you competing with Boston.
That's the hardest one of the group, though. I think.
It's the end of a 5-game trip.
It's the end of a trip.
Doubt.
And they are so young and talented and at home and fast and all of that. 888-957-9570. If we offered you 8-3 at the end of next Tuesday's game against Klay Thompson and the Mavericks, would you take it? That means they'd go 2-2 over the next 4. At Boston tomorrow, at Cleveland Friday, at Oklahoma City Sunday. Those three teams combined have lost one game so far. And then Clay comes Tuesday night. Are you happy or not with 2-2?